Okay, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Started some months ago a series about Joshua. The Bible mentions a number of things about Joshua before he became the leader of the people of God. And so we've been looking at those different issues. No doubt they're recorded for us to show the preparation that takes place in someone who is going to lead in any capacity. This will be the final lesson. This actually is the one of the early and background mentions of Joshua, so we didn't exactly do it all in order. So, where Joshua begins and ends. It's interesting that this is where he came from. Now you know that Joshua 1, he takes over, but it looks back to this point and identifies him always as Joshua, the son of Nun. Nun, of course, being his father. So, this brings up a very important issue in leadership, and that is that someone who understands heritage, and we're going to talk about heritage. So I want to get some scriptures. Caleb, you read our main verse, which is Joshua 1, 1 through 7. Eli, read Joshua 1, 1. Joshua 1, 1. Andy, Numbers 27, 18. Anthony, Psalm 47, 4. Daniel, Hebrews 12, 16. We're at Lamb, Deuteronomy 27, 16. Adam, read 2 Timothy 1:14, and Frank, 2 Timothy 2:2, Ethan, Joshua 1:5, and Zach, Joshua 1:6. Okay, let's read our main verse here, Joshua 1:1-7. He's about to take over, and it looks backward in time as well.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go.
Okay, heritage is this lesson. Let's talk about heritage. God's plan for destiny. If God has a destiny for you, it's going to involve connections with other people. And one of the major identifying marks of Joshua, this is repeated concerning him, is his connection to other people. Verse 1, Joshua 1:1.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to the pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister.
Okay, so now here's a transition. He now is about to step into his destiny, if you want. This is Friday night of conference for Joshua. He's now going to enter into the plans. God has always planned for him to lead God's people, but it's very interesting. How does God identify him? Fundamentally, and you look here, this is repeated about Joshua numbers of times. is Joshua the son of. So he is connected. And in this case, he, of course, is identified as a son. So God's plan of destiny involves heritage. Heritage is a possession. It's something that is passed on or something that is handed down to somebody else. And so this is going to be true for you. We inherit things that have been paid for by others. There are things that you take for granted. Yeah, that's what we do. But you don't understand how we got them. How do we know how to do this and not that? Why do we do this? And so sometimes there are people that have paid a great price. We inherit the blessings and the benefit. We know things. One of our pioneers last week was just remarking in simple. Then he went to visit one of the other pioneer churches in the area, and he just said, "I thank God that you have taught us some basic things." In this case, it was about buildings. This guy's making his job much, much harder by a building in the location, the area, signage, et cetera, et cetera. And so we know things. So it's put into you. It's passed on. We can do things because of what has been imparted. And this is more. Discipleship is more than information. It is impartation. There is a supernatural element. If you are connected to a man of God, you get more than notes that go from my computer to yours. Is that there is actually a spiritual dimension. Numbers 27:18.
And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him."
Okay, so here is, he has the Spirit of God, it says, and lay your hand on him. Put something in him that is going to be supernatural. So, now he is going to face situations or problems. He's going to have something, not because he worked some things out. He has something because it was imparted to him. And that is what destiny is all about. So, the simple point is this. You can't achieve destiny by yourself. You cannot achieve destiny by yourself. And so this is why he is identified Joshua the son. I don't know if you're aware of this. You became a son and you had nothing to do with that. You were not involved in that process. Okay, Joshua the son. No one ever became a son by themselves. I'll do this. You know, the old saying, Alex Haley, the author, said if you ever see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, you can be sure he had help getting there. And so God builds this into all of salvation. This is a real truth. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a connection with other people. Saul is knocked off his horse in Acts chapter 9. And as he's knocked off his horse, he's blinded. This is a man, he's brilliant. This guy writes, he must have had an incredible brain. He writes sentences that are so complicated that we got to study for hours just to work out one sentence of Paul. This is a bright guy. But God knocks him off his horse, blinds him, and he says, you're going nowhere unless somebody helps you. He had to be led by the hand. You need Ananias to come and pray for you. So he builds into, this is a man who God has a powerful destiny for. And he says, listen, Saul, you need other people. So this is a truth. And this is you are connected to family. Some of you here, you were raised in our fellowship. You were raised in this church. So you have family. Joshua, the son of Nun. You can say, I am the son of somebody who made right decisions. And that's a great blessing. You have a pastor. Verse 3 in our passage, he says, as I said to Moses, In other words, Josh, I'm not just starting with you from scratch. There are things that I've put in your pastor that have been passed on to you. You're connected to him. You have a church that you are connected with. You are connected to a fellowship. So, heritage involves God's choices. God makes choices. The Bible uses a word and it calls it birthright. As I said, you had no vote in your family heritage. You didn't have anything to do with that. Heritage is something, birthright is something that God chooses, and God plans some things. Psalm 47:4.
He chose our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loved.
Okay. He chose. Some of you are, you're not from this city and you wound up and you got saved here. Some of you even, there's a few of you that you're originally not from this church and yet you're here. And yet God knew that. And the Bible says he chose. God plans things. You were saved in a certain place. You were, or you're grafted in here in this church, in this fellowship. And so you need to understand heritage. You cannot fully grasp discipleship unless you grasp heritage. Let's talk secondly about despising heritage. The reason why we have to say that is the problem is we don't appreciate heritage. We fail to appreciate God's plan of connection with other people. We don't value what we have, so therefore we lack gratitude for what we're connected to. We lack gratitude. We have no appreciation for what we've been given or what's been imparted to us. Like the prodigal son is given incredible blessings and heritage and connection to family. But at a certain point, is that I don't need this. I'm gonna go off on my own. He had no gratitude, and that is often a problem that causes destruction. So, one of the things I'm speaking at the level of discipleship, and so obviously some of you haven't entered into your destiny in any way at the moment yet. The problem is usually not when you're struggling. The problem is usually not before you enter destiny. The problem is if you cry out to God and God somehow helps you and gives you any measure of success. That is when heritage becomes crucial, because it is human nature that we allow success to make us forget our connection to heritage. Hebrews 12:16.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau who for one more sold his birthright.
Okay, birthright. God planned. And he said, what do I need that for? So there's a man, he's a successful hunter. He had abilities in some area. So, this is the difficulty. Is in pride, when God begins to bless us a little bit, now we begin to feel very proud. You know, I know some things. Yeah, and how do you know them? I can do some things. I have some ability. Yeah, and how is it that you can do them? So we begin to, we begin to think we're mushrooms. We just sprung out of nowhere. Probably because some BS came on us. And so that's the real issue. So you get guys who, I want to carve out my own niche. I want to make my own way. I want to make a name for myself. And this is the problem. We just had a situation. A man, while he was a disciple. Oh yes, Pastor, you're the wisest man in all the world. But God began to bless him. And as soon as God began to bless him, then he absolutely despised his pastor, and then ultimately despised leadership. We brought him in at conference in front of the board of elders. And Pastor Mitchell, myself, so here's 9 men that have things that he knows nothing about. And we all tried to warn him. Your pride makes you think that you blew it. And we all warned him. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you leave this place, if you blow off what we're saying. What do these old dudes know? And went back, and within 10 days, he went from hundreds to a handful. And still blames us. We warned him. But this is true. Despising heritage is incredibly displeasing to God. He is not impressed when you despise your heritage. Deuteronomy 27:16.
Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all people shall say amen.
Cursed. That's a powerful statement there. God says you're cursed who you despise your father or your mother. Things don't work well for people who are cursed. I have another situation we're currently dealing with, and so this is a bright boy who is despising everything in the fellowship. I don't know if you know this, but he says outreach doesn't work anymore. They don't do outreach in their church anymore. He was given, he never built a church, he was given something, and now he's announcing to the world that outreach doesn't work anymore. Well, that's brilliant. That is absolute brilliance. And everything else, and that he knows better about the fellowship. That, the Bible says, God is displeased with. That doesn't work well. Because you're violating God's order of salvation. Salvation works by connection. Success makes us independent. I don't need you. It's violating God's order of destiny. And this is something. So the problem is when we despise heritage. Let's look finally at valuing heritage. Inheritance. Heritage must be valued. Number one, you have to think about your heritage. We said, we read in Hebrews 12:16, Esau, who like a fornicator or a profane person. Profane. Profane is without thought. Literally, the word means threshold. When you walked in that door, right there, none of you stopped. The threshold is on one, you're on the outside of the door, now you're on the inside. None of you stopped and said, what a beautiful threshold. I love this. You didn't even think about it. And the Bible says that was Esau. Given heritage, he didn't even think about it. So he offered him stew. Yeah, I'll trade it. What good is it to me? Because he never thought about it. So, the opposite of profane is with thought. It's the idea of being careful or reverent. So, you have to find out where we came from. You have to find out why we do what we do. You have to repent of pride. You have to think about reproducing. Success is not coming up with some new method. This is one of the marks of pride. I got this new thing. Yeah, I'm doing things a different way. That you got out of a book from somebody you don't even know, which is brilliant. You got off the internet. And the same guy has your theory. He also has UFO, anti-vaccine, and political theories as well. So, number two, you have to develop a gratitude for our heritage. You know, men who survive in the long run are grateful men. Thanking God, thanking people. Paul's letters overflow with gratitude. This is a guy who's brilliant. Right? This is a guy we owe 2/3 of the New Testament to him. And yet when he writes, I thank God for you. I thank God. He names people. He recognizes, I'm connected here. That's how you survive in the long run. Number three, you have to deliberately connect with your heritage. Moses, or Joshua rather, he stayed connected to Moses. is he is the one who had it written, right? The book of Joshua. Who wrote this down? He did. Who am I? I'm Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua, connected to my pastor Moses. So you have to deliberately connect to. This is always one of the problems of pastoring, is men who, they get to a point, you know, when they're pioneering, they might have questions and stuff, but then you come to a point, you don't hear from them. One of the guys that we're probably headed for trouble with right now hasn't been to conference in a year and a half at least. Has never spoken to a pastor, makes major decisions, not connected. That's deadly. Fourthly is you have to fight to maintain your heritage. 2 Timothy 1:14.
That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which is solid.
Okay. Keep in the King James, you don't get the full sense of the word. The word is literally guard it. Fight for this. That's one of the issues that has to happen. Is I'm going to guard this. 2 Timothy 2:2.
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay, and the things you've heard of me among many things, the same. Success. Paul didn't say to Timothy, if you are a success, you're gonna find some new things. He said to him, if you do the old things well, that's the key. One of the greatest compliments that, I've heard people thank me for sermons and this and that and the other thing. One of the greatest compliments that I ever received in my life is people who would visit our church in South Africa and would remark, this feels like Prescott. It's like, I love this person. You have no idea how happy that makes me feel. I never once had somebody come in and say, thank God, finally somebody's doing some new things around here. Feels like where you're from. Because that's success. You gotta fight to maintain that. And I had to make decisions and fought through cultural issues and whatever because I'm trying to reproduce my heritage. So blessing flows finally through heritage. There's a supernatural grace that is released through heritage. Joshua 1:5.
No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you.
As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. As I was with Moses. So he says here, there's going to be a grace. You're connected to Moses, so therefore, there's going to be something supernatural in your life. God's going to help you in ways that you won't even understand, simply because you are connected to heritage. And then ultimately, your destiny is fulfilled by being connected to heritage. Joshua 1:6.
Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them.
Okay, so here is, remember what our series has been about. It's Joshua before taking over and becoming the leader. And so he is saying, you get to the place that God has planned for you by being connected to heritage. And that's that God has great things for you. But you're not going to spring up like a mushroom. It's going to be being connected to heritage. Okay. Let's open for questions or comments. Eli.
Being from here and wanting things to function like Prescott does, I've visited churches before in our fellowship that just were remarkably different and didn't have the same characteristics. If you were to take over one of those churches, how do you discern what's the issue of heritage and what is just not that important and you can leave the way it is?
Well, I mean, the question probably is too broad because, you know, you could be talking about 1,000 things. But the point is, ultimately, if you take over a church and it's not like what you come from, your ultimate goal is to bring it into line with. But we give wisdom strategies, and there's numbers of seminars that you could listen to. It doesn't make sense that a guy goes in and the first week is, this isn't like Prescott, and so he gets out the TNT and goes, blows up, and now he has nobody. But boy, these chairs look like Prescott. Well, that doesn't make sense, right? So, as I work with guys, there's a whole range of things, and outreach, standards, prayer, all kinds of things. And so, a little rowboat, you can turn it like this. An ocean liner, is you got to plan things a mile in advance, right? So it's a process. It's a long and slow process. It depends on, and churches, one of the reasons why the question is too broad is, are we talking about a church that originally, in its roots, had the right thing, but then got off track? That's an easier proposition than a church that's never had it. Sometimes if they've never had it, now you're speaking, a foreign language to them. Doesn't make sense. So it takes a lot of time to teach and preach and bring things into line. Adam?
You said fights to guard or to maintain the heritage. In what ways is there the fight?
Jiu-jitsu. Well, like this, what he's saying is that may be you are taking over a church. Excuse me. It may be that as a pastor, you come under pressure from people. Pastor, one of the things about being a pastor is that you get all kinds of pressure. So you get parent pressure. You're not going to do that to my child, are you? But your heritage, you know better, right? You get financial pressure. People that we don't want to do that, so we're going to stop giving if you preach that or if you do that. You get pressure from outside. One of the things in a fellowship, we have 2,200 churches, and so we get winds of doctrine. We get dingbats who want to take us in another direction, and that's one of the things that you don't see as leadership is we fight battles behind the scenes. We identify this guy's a problem. And so we're countering it with preaching. We're hedging around. And so that's some of the things are done for you. But as a pastor, you have to make up your mind. If you went to a large city and numbers of other churches are into a funky doctrine, you can go with them, you can go with your heritage. Right? So there's a lot of different ways. And a lot of it, again, is some of these things that I teach to you things that won't make sense now. You kind of get where I'm coming from, but it won't, just file it away. One day you'll go, I get this. This is what he's talking about. So just file it away. And you'll be in the middle of a fight and you'll go, now I know what he's talking about.
Pastor, you said not like trying new things and doing different things. But in the same breath, we do encourage like trying new ways of evangelizing and things like that.
But it's in the context of evangelizing. Mm-hmm. So the new things are one of the marks. It's funky if it takes you away from evangelism. Mm-hmm. So every wind of doctrine, one of the major winds of doctrine, one of the fights that Adam is talking about, is long about 97 came what was called Brownsville, and hey man, we had worship, and we didn't even have preaching. So if it's against preaching, if it's against evangelism, we don't go on outreach anymore. We're just bringing the tabernacle of David and the worship and the glory brought them in. It's wrong, funky. So we fought. We had to fight about that. So, but in the context of evangelism. Are you doing a movie or a concert? Are you doing Menudo or puppets? I don't care what you do. Make up your whatever, but it's sinners. Bringing in sinners and confronting them with the gospel. So in that context, sure, there's, we don't have one holy way, one holy method, no. But it has to be evangelistic.
When you were out pioneering, is this something that you would have to remind yourself of as the heritage, where you came from? I mean, whenever you'd, like you're saying, being in a city where there might be another church from our fellowship that's bigger and they're successful, and you're like, well, shoot, I'm not seeing the same results, but you had to remind yourself the heritage that you came from.
Yeah, you know, in my, in my situation, I pioneered on an island. There was only one other church, and they only had a handful of people. So in pioneering, I didn't face that from other churches. They were hours and hours away. So I was very isolated. So that was different. But I did have the religious people coming in and trying to pressure you in that way. Then in other places, yes, I had to, in big cities, stand against the Brownsville nonsense. I had to do that in Melbourne. I had to do that in Johannesburg. Johannesburg, not so much in the city, because I was the second guy in our city. But in South Africa, again, there was a move. Yeah, I was a guy who was successful and was trying to turn all the pastors towards worship, and that was one of the fights that we had, is to stand against that. Yeah. So sometimes, yes, you do. And so one of the things, you remember in my conference sermon, is that, you can easily devolve into tribalism, right? That we're right, we're the best, simply because of where we're from. I'm not talking about tribalism. I'm not talking about being a jerk. Is if you go to pioneer, you're there to pioneer. You're not there to straighten out the world. I don't send guys to go and get in a fight. You'll have enough fights, believe me. You don't have to go looking for one. So, it is also stupid for a guy. You have two people and you want to straighten out the world. If you're in a big city, that doesn't make sense to me. Just keep your mouth shut and you do right, and we'll get along with it. So that's the balance on the other side. I discourage. I'm telling you now. I don't want you, when you go and pioneer or pastor somewhere, I don't want you to go and be offending everybody. I'm from Prescott. We're the best. Yeah, I hate that, because all that does is cause division. But on the other hand, believe me, it'll come to you. You don't have to go looking for it. So you just do right. I'm doing right, and there's individual issues you work out over time.
Pastor, in light of what Eli's saying and Adam, the pressures and the fights and all these things coming from outside and financial, if you take over a church, this is why you're always hammering in on us, is stay connected. Stay
yeah.
connected to pastor. Call your pastor and things like that. Because, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Is that this is why you're always telling us, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In connection. And so one of the problems is that in connection, as I said, one of the guys that currently we're probably about to have trouble with is making radical decisions. And so I get calls and guys say, hey, man, this guy totally changed everything. Did he ever ask you about that? Like, he hasn't spoken to us in years. He's making radical and encouraging others around him to make radical moves without connection. It doesn't. And so then you gotta play cleanup. It'll bite you in the butt. So the problem is pride makes us think we're smarter. As I said in conference, this guy looked at 9 leaders of the fellowship and looked at us like we're idiots. Because he's so smart, and a little over a week later, he has almost nothing left. And we told him, but pride inflates your own brilliance, and it deflates everybody else's, and that's always a mistake. Somebody else.
So obviously you've had fights with maintaining heritage.
Mm-hmm.
What strategies, beyond gratitude, staying connected, and thinking about it, what did you personally do to remind yourself of heritage, to remind yourself of where you came from?
One of the things is that in a when you come up against difficulties is to come back to the Word of God to understand. So you have to be a thinker. To be a man of God, you got to be a thinker. And so it also, while you have heritage, you know, in Prescott, this is the way they do things and learn, that is an insufficient answer for your people. That's the way they do it in Prescott. That's not enough. You have to understand life biblically. You have to understand logically. And that's one of the things is that 97, I went to South Africa. The main guy in South Africa was claiming, I don't know if he was inflating the numbers, but he claimed he was running, I think sometimes 400 people. But it was all religious, worship-based, not dealing with sin, against evangelism, all the things. So one of the things that made me do was go to the Word of God. And that was a wave that was going through our fellowship. So it made me examine things biblically. Why is what they're doing wrong? Why is the way I've been raised right? And simply, you know, saying to somebody in Africa, because that's the way they do it in Prescott, is like, oh, I was unaware of that. Thank you very much. How do you spell Prescott? You know. So that's right. It's biscuit, not Prescott. So so biblically is the main thing. And so your job now is to, as a disciple, if you're wise, you will be looking around, thinking of everything we do and asking, why do we do it like that? And understanding it. Because everything you do, you'll be challenged. You'll have either a new convert or you'll have a religious toad who will challenge you. Why do we do it like that? And you've got to be able to, from the Bible or from logic, to understand why we do things a certain way.
You talk about like having this success as something that will cause you to maybe despise your heritage. I think that's like a thread that you bring up a lot, is success like causing pride and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to think like I'm the first guy that I could have wild success and not have it go to my head, but I know that's not true. Like, is it possible to have success and not need the pinprick the next minute? Like,
number one is you won't, you know, the old wisdom from Pastor Mitchell is I promise you won't win every time. Because if you did, your head wouldn't even fit in the door. So on the one hand is God arranges you to lose sometimes to readjust your pride. So that's one of the mercies of God is things don't always go well, and so that's one of the things. So but no, it's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. Paul was somewhat successful, right? He was the most successful Christian that you could ever have, and yet he ended well. So, no, it's not a given. I'm not anti-success. I'm just pointing out that's one of the dangers. Yes, that is a common thread because that's a common problem that we deal with. But I'm certainly not against success. The point is not that we go, so I'm going to have 3 people till the rapture, and that'll be... Bless God, but we got quality people. I want every one of you to wildly succeed. I want all of you to have more than I've ever had. That would be fantastic. But I also want you to survive and not destroy yourself. So yeah, that's possible. Sure. It's a choice. Lem?
You hear sometimes just guys say this, you know, this city is tough or this area is tough. It, you know, it's different in this city or whatever their issue is, but everything that you teach us as the gospel message works. Is that, I guess, just an issue of from where they came from and not instilling that heritage?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because, again, the question's too broad because I don't know what they were raised. Really, the issue is it's not so much the way you were raised, because even if I teach it to you, you know it in your head now, but, you know, when you're getting kicked in the nuts, then it's like, oh, now I gotta, wait a minute, do I really believe this? So it's not a matter of you know, you're not from Prescott, you're not taught this. No, I think other guys are taught, but the issue is you get your you're getting your head beat in, and then you got to make up your mind: does God tell the truth or does He not? You know, Stephen and Emily went out, and in the summer things went well. As soon as it started to snow, it snows every Sunday and every Wednesday. And so that's one of those issues. And so it's like, it, you know, I chuckle at that. My wife looks at the, it's like, my God, it's snowing again today. And so that's the time when it's like, does God tell the truth or does He not? And so, you know, they fasted last week, and then on Wednesday night they had seven visitors walk in, and all seven got saved. So, you know, that's the fight. You got to make up your mind. As we said, faith is a stubborn thing. Faith clings to. So, hopefully you have an advantage because I'm telling you that in advance, that you will be tempted or other people will tell you that this place is hard. So I put in you lessons of dominion. That's heritage that'll help you. But still, even though you have heritage, you got to work it out for yourself. You got to fight it through. Angel?
Yeah, I was just, you know, thinking in discipleship, and a lot of times how, you know, you can decipher the difference. You know, one, you know, you got to work on not being prideful and, you know, not being, oh, I am from Prescott, the way we do things. And then you got to be humble and still say, well, I'm from Prescott, and this is what I've been taught, and this is what, you know, God has promised me through heritage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just drawing that line, drawing or gaining that balance, is that something that's a daily discipline to pray that God puts in you a spirit of humility?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, balance is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
An imbalanced person is, you can become kooky in lots of ways, you know. So, yeah. You know, that's something that, yes, you should pray for, and pray for wisdom of balance. Discernment, that's what Solomon asked for. God, let me discern, which is let me be able to tell the difference. So, yeah, that's one of the things. But human nature being what it is, as Martin Luther says, we're like drunken peasants falling on one side of the donkey or the other. The trick is try to stay on the donkey, you know, in the middle. So, but yeah, prayer, you know, praying for that, yes. So I want you to value heritage, but I don't want you to become filled with pride and think that you know, you somehow are special in all the world simply because of where you're from, right? Because we've had a lot of jerks come from Prescott too. So, so let's be honest about that, right? And there's some wonderful men that have no connection with Prescott whatsoever. So that's the truth. Good. Eric?
In that line of thinking, I was thinking about, I mean, it seems like it's more, when you see guys go off the rails, more of a personal issue. I mean, the way I'm thinking, if you send out 10 churches, and one guy goes off the rails, I don't think it's a headship issue. I mean, I understand what I'm saying? Like, we get this mindset that, you know, what church are you, or is he out of? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it, I don't know, just kind of just thinking right now, it's more of a personal issue, not so much your headship if you get off the rails.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I say. We've had total dingbats and jerks that come from Prescott, and there are guys that are wonderful men, and I know their pastors are out there. And yet they're wonderful. That's a choice. Right? Everybody, you can choose what you want to be in life. So that's a real truth. So my job is to do the best that I can to equip you. The whole idea of doing serious men is I am trying my best to equip you the best that I can. And this is just one of the issues, is I'm creating a forum where you can ask questions. I'm creating a forum where I'm trying to put into you and prepare you. Now, what you do with it, that's up to you. So I'm doing the best that I can as a disciple-making pastor to give you the opportunity to succeed. If you do or not, that's between you and God. So, but I'm doing my part in it. Very good. Very good questions, guys. Okay, that brings Joshua to a close. and we'll move on with something else.